So it's text 13 to 15, and number 13 is on the board. So here's the translation to all three verses. When brahmanas are free from envy, untruthfulness, unnecessary pride, grudges, disturbance by the opulence of others, and false prestige, their blessings never go in vain. Considering this, Nanda Maharaj soberly took Krishna on his lap and invited such truthful brahmanas to perform a ritualistic ceremony according to the holy hymns of the Samaveda, Rigveda, and Yajurveda. Then, while the hymns were being chanted, he bathed the child with water mixed with pure herbs. And after performing a fire ceremony, he sumptuously fed all the brahmanas with first-class grains and other food. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nanda Maharaj was very confident about the qualifications of the brahmanas and their blessings. He was fully confident that simply, if the good brahmanas showered their blessings, the child Krishna would be happy. The blessings of qualified brahmanas can bring happiness not only to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to everyone. Because Krishna is self-sufficient, he does not require anyone's blessings. Yet Nanda Maharaj thought that Krishna required the blessings of the brahmanas. And then, what then is to be said of others? In human society, therefore, there must be an ideal class of men, brahmanas, who can bestow blessings upon others, namely upon the kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, so that everyone will be happy. Krishna, therefore, says in Bhagavad Gita 4.13 that human society must have four social orders, chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagasaha. It is not that everyone should become a Shudra or a Vaishya and human society will prosper. As enunciated in Bhagavad Gita, there must be a class of brahmanas with qualities like satya, truthfulness, shama, peacefulness, dhamma, self-control, and titiksha, tolerance. Here also, in the Bhagavatam, Nanda Maharaj invites qualified brahmanas. There may be caste brahmanas, and we have all respect for them, but their birth in brahmana families does not mean that they are qualified to bestow blessings upon the other members of human society. This is the verdict of the Shastras. In Kali Yuga, caste brahmanas are accepted as brahmanas. Vipratve sutram evahi, Bhagavatam 12:2-3. In Kali Yuga, simply by putting on a thread worth 2 paisa, one becomes a brahmana. Such brahmanas were not called for by Nanda Maharaj. As stated by Narad Muni, Bhagavatam 7.11.35, yasya yal lakshanam proktam. The symptoms of a brahmana are stated in Shastra, and one must be qualified with these symptoms. The blessings of brahmanas who are not envious, disturbed, or puffed up with pride and false prestige, and who are fully qualified with truthfulness, will be useful. Therefore, a class of men must be trained as brahmanas from the very beginning. Brahmachari gurukule vasandanto goror hitam, Bhagavatam 7.12.1. The word dantaha is very important. Dantaha refers to one who is not envious, disturbed, or puffed up with false prestige. With the Krishna consciousness movement, we are trying to introduce such brahmanas in society. Brahmanas must ultimately be Vaishnavas, and if one is a Vaishnav, he has already acquired the qualifications of a Brahmana. Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma, Bhagavad Gita 18.54. The word Brahma-Bhuta refers to becoming a Brahmana, or understanding what is Brahman. Brahma-Janatiti Brahmanaha. One who is Brahma-Bhuta is always happy, Prasanatma. Nasochati Nakankshati. He is never disturbed about material necessities. Samaha sarva bhuteshu. He is ready to bestow blessings upon everyone equally. Madbhaktim labhate param. Then he becomes a Vaishnav. In this age, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur introduced the sacred thread ceremony for his Vaishnav disciples with the idea that people should understand that when one becomes a Vaishnav, he has already acquired the qualifications of a Brahmana. Therefore, in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, those who are twice initiated so as to become brahmanas must bear in mind their great responsibility to be truthful, control the mind and senses, be tolerant, and so on. Then their life will be successful. It was such brahmanas that Nanda Maharaj invited to chant the Vedic hymns, not ordinary brahmanas. Verse 13 distinctly mentions hingsa mana. The word mana refers to false prestige or false pride. Those who were falsely proud, thinking that they were brahmanas because they were born in brahmana families, were never invited by Nanda Maharaj on such occasions. Verse 14 mentions pavitraushadhi. In any ritualistic ceremony, many herbs and leaves were required. These were known as pavitra patra. Sometimes there were nimba leaves, sometimes bale leaves, mango leaves, ashvata leaves, or amalaki leaves. Similarly, there were panchagavya, panchashasya, and pancharatna. Although Nanda Maharaj belonged to the Vaishya community, everything was known to him. The most important word in these verses is maha gunam, indicating that the brahmanas were offered very palatable food of exalted quality. Such palatable dishes were generally prepared with two things, namely food grains and milk products. Bhagavad Gita 18:44 therefore enjoins that human society must give protection to the cows and encourage agriculture. Krishi Gorak Shivani Jum Vaisha Karmas Vabhava Jum. Simply by expert cooking, hundreds and thousands of palatable dishes can be prepared from agricultural produce and milk products. This is indicated here by the words anam, mahagunam. Still today in India, from these two things, namely food grains and milk, hundreds and thousands of varieties of food are prepared, and then they are offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chatur Vida Shri Bhagavat Prasada. Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakcha Prayachati. Then the prasad is distributed, full stop. Even today in Jagannath Chetra and other big temples, very palatable dishes are offered to the deity. We're almost finished, by the way, just in case your attention span is dwindling. And prasad is distributed profusely, cooked by first-class brahmanas with expert knowledge and then distributed to the public. This prasad is also a blessing from the brahmanas or Vaishnavas. There are four kinds of prasad, chaturvidha. Salty, sweet, sour, and pungent tastes are made with different types of spices, and the food is prepared in four divisions called charvya, chushya, lehya, and pehya. Prasad that is chewed, prasad that is licked, prasad tasted with the tongue, and prasad that is drunk. Thus, there are many varieties of prasad, prepared very nicely with grains and ghee, offered to the deity and distributed to the brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and then to the general public. This is the way of human society. Killing the cows and spoiling the land will not solve the problem of food. This is not civilization. Uncivilized men living in the jungle and being unqualified to produce food by agriculture and cow protection may eat animals. But a perfect human society advanced in knowledge must learn how to produce first-class food simply by agricultural and protection of cows. Here's the verse again. When brahmanas are free from envy, untruthfulness, unnecessary pride, grudges, disturbance by the opulence of others, and false prestige, their blessings never go in vain. Considering this, Nanda Maharaj soberly took Krishna on his lap and invited such truthful brahmanas to perform a ritualistic ceremony according to the holy hymns of the Samaveda, Rigveda, and Yajurveda. Then, while the hymns were being chanted, he bathed the child with water mixed with pure herbs, and after performing a fire ceremony, he sumptuously fed all the brahmanas with first-class grains and other food. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitam Yena Bhutali Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaebhacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when I read the purport, I came to a conclusion what the topic was. So I'd like to ask you what you think the topic was, just to see if it's the same as what I thought. I had two things in mind, actually. I thought it was about the Brahmanas. Seems to be the prevalent discussion. But it's also heavily leaning towards Varnashram, and in particular, cooking nice food. So Srila Prabhupada, in starting his mission, was fighting against Brahmanas. Brahmanas that said Westerners should not be given Brahminical initiation. Now in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains why Vaishnavas were given the sacred thread. And I'll quote, "In this age, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati introduced the sacred thread ceremony for his Vaishnav disciples with the idea that people should understand that when one becomes a Vaishnav, he has already acquired the qualifications of a Brahmana." So how tragic it is if we get the sacred thread and then we misbehave. The whole basis of ISKCON movement is that it is based on quality and not on birth. Now, if we are not born in Brahminical families, are given Brahminical initiation, and then we misuse, we have bad character, then we are giving ammunition to the caste Goswamis. And they can claim, well, look at this society. They're giving Brahminical initiation to Westerners, and look how they're behaving. And unfortunately, in many cases, it is correct. If you're born into a good Brahminical family, and you're brought up nicely, then the chances of sensual fall down is a lot less than if you're brought up in a Western background and you're eating meat and taking intoxication and so forth. Thank you. So Prabhupada, anticipating this, although it was probably already going on at the time, he writes in the next sentence, "Therefore, in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, those who are twice initiated so as to become Brahmanas must bear in mind their great responsibility to be truthful, control the mind and senses, be tolerant, and so on. Then their life will be successful. So consider yourselves the ambassadors of ISKCON." Recently I was in Aylesbury, and I met this Christian, and she said, "We're part of," I can't remember the name of the church, "the Jesus Christ Ministry Embassy," or something. She had the word embassy in it. So I said, "Why is it called embassy?" And she explained that some person had this dream or vision to start an embassy for Christ. So this church is an embassy. So in the same way, we can consider ourselves as ambassadors for Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So our bad behavior reflects very badly on the whole tradition. And it gives people an excuse to say, just see, they should never have given Brahminical initiation to Westerners. They weren't born in Brahminical families. Now, this is actually in the Dharma Shastra, which we don't follow. It says, "Brahmanyam Brahmane Vaiva Utpano Brahmana Smritaha," I think. It says, when one is born in the womb, from the womb of a Brahmani, with the seed of a Brahmana, then one is a Brahman. So it actually has some scriptural reference. If you wonder where the caste Goswami system of Brahmanism by birth, where it comes from, well, it comes from the Dharma Shastra, which is relative Shastra. We follow the absolute Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, we don't accept this. And as Prabhupada points out in the purport, "Chaturvarnya Mayashrishta Guna Karma Vibhagasaha." Notice the word guna, not the word janma. It doesn't say janma karma vibhagasaha. It's according to guna, according to qualities. Therefore, if we can raise ourselves to the platform of being Brahmanas, then we are qualified to be Brahmanas. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, as was mentioned, he gave the thread. It's interesting that he gave the thread, but at first he didn't give the thread to women. And there was a female disciple She really wanted Brahminical initiation. So he gave the thread, and from at a certain point he started giving the sacred, not the thread, but the Brahminical initiation to women. He never gave the thread. But at that time, I think it was only to married women, and they didn't get the Brahma Gayatri. Those who have Gayatri initiation or the seven Gayatris, they didn't get the Brahma Gayatri. Srila Prabhupada made a couple of changes. He started giving it to unmarried women as well, and he also gave the Brahma Gayatri as well. But obviously he didn't give the sacred thread, just to let you know this. So there's a gradual development. Each of our acharyas, have the prerogative to change according to time, place, and circumstance. We see that things are constantly changing, the actual details. But the principle we understand is to follow Lord Chaitanya. So in support of the idea that it should be by quality and not by birth, Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavatam, Canto 7. He quotes the first line, Yasya yal lakshanam proktam. So the rest goes, Varna shrama vibhagasaha, yad anyatrapi drishyetat tattinaiva vinirdishet. The quote is, this is Narad Muni speaking to Yudhisthira Maharaj, and he says, if you see the qualities of another Varna in a person whose family is from a different Varna, you should go by the qualities you see in the person, not by the family. This is the Bhagavatam evidence for this. Now, it's actually in the Ramayana. This is funny. This pastime I'm about to tell. It sounds like a Mahabharat pastime, but it's actually found in the Ramayana, and it's the pastime of a fight between Vasishta and Vishvamitra. Someone knows this one. It's a very relevant to this purport for a number of reasons. One, because it demonstrates the ability to change Varna in one's life without having to take birth again. And it also proves the power of the Brahmanas, which is very relevant to this section of the Bhagavatam, because we notice how, I mean, generally speaking, Brahmanas, they're not physically very strong, but for protection, we go to the Brahmanas. And it's even mentioned in this purport that the Brahmanas bless and give protection to the Kshatriyas, you see. So in the hierarchy, Brahmanas are the top because they are purity, and purity is force. And it's actually interesting that when Kashyapa Muni was instructing his son Garuda what to eat, he said, whatever you do, don't eat a Brahmana. It's very bad. So Garuda said, how will I know if I've eaten a Brahmana? And he said, you will know because your throat will start to burn. Brahmanas are very powerful. There's sometimes, and these, you know, in the Mahabharata, they talk about the Balakilyas. They were tiny little Brahmanas, and they were upside down on a leaf, on a little branch. But they were so powerful that they even cursed. I think it was Indra they cursed, and I think that's how the nectar got stolen from the heavens. Anyway, we have to be careful. Small body, very powerful. And Srila Prabhupada, he was exactly like that. Very small, but very powerful. And one of his disciples, I'm trying to remember who it was. It might have been Badahari. It might have been Sureshwar. Anyway, he describes how the first time he met Prabhupada, he said, thought to himself, this man is very, very powerful. I hope that he's good, because if he's so powerful that if he's bad, he could cause so much trouble. And of course, he later discovered Prabhupada was not only very powerful, but he was very good. So going back to the story, this is from Ramayana. So Vishvamitra, he was a Kshatriya, and he wanted a cow, this lovely cow that belonged to Vasishtha Muni. Because this cow was a wish-fulfilling cow. It produced anything you liked. It could produce so much food and everything. So much milk, but oh, not only milk, so many things. So Vasishtha, he had his ashram, and he had this cow, and he didn't want to give this cow to Vishvamitra. So Vishvamitra, being a very powerful Kshatriya, attempted to steal this cow by force. So what happened was, from the cow, so many soldiers manifested, and they routed the army of Vishvamitra. So that was completely humiliating for Vishvamitra. And it was at that time he realized, you know, what is the use of being a Kshatriya? The Brahminical prowess is so much stronger. So he desired very much to become a Brahmin. And eventually he became a Brahmin, but it took a lot of austerity. Finally, he was acknowledged and admitted as a Brahmana. So this is an indication. And there are many, in the Bhagavatam, there are many examples of changing of caste. This is one example from the Ramayana. Just this morning, I was listening to a Prabhupada lecture, and he was also discussing the sons of Rishabdev. So it's interesting, there was 100 sons. Now, 9 of them were sannyasis, and they were known as, who knows, the Nava Yogendras, whose instructions, they're also Mahabhagavats. Their instructions is found in Canto 11. Then there were 11 Kshatriyas, and they ruled over the various islands, and Bharat, right? Bharat was the head. So he was the ruler of all of the whole area, but the various dweeps were ruled by various Kshatriyas. All were sons of Lord Rishabdev. And in the remaining 81, they were Brahmanas. They weren't Mahabhagavats, but they were Brahmanas. They weren't transcendental. Now in I bring that up because it's another example where if it's Varna by birth, then, well, we got 3 different Varnas and one coming from Lord Rishabdev. So it's obviously not. So here's another verse that's quoted just in this connection. Once again, the first line's quoted. Brahma janatiti brahmanaha. So that's the last line of a kind of famous verse that Prabhupada sometimes quotes. It's janmana jayate shudra sanskarad bhaved dvija vedapatad bhaved vipra brahma janatiti brahmanaha. This is an interesting verse. For many, it comes in the selected sloka book as unknown source, but actually the source has been found by Hari Parshida, one of the scholars in ISKCON, and I forget what it is from, but he once put an article on Dandavats. I think he went through all the unknown source material and he found scriptural references for many of it, so you can find out the source for this. It's some Purana or some commentary of some Acharya. Anyway, the meaning is, the first line, Janmana Jayati Shudra. By birth, we're all born as Shudras. Then, Sangskarad Bhaved Dvija. If we undergo the Sangskaras, the system of purification, we can become a Dvija. We can get a sacred thread. We can get initiation into study of the Vedas. But we're still the Dvija. The next level is Vipra. And it says, Veda Patad Bhaved Vipra. Through study of the Vedas, one becomes a Vipra. So Vipra is considered a qualified Brahmana. But then we get realization, Brahma Janatiti Brahmanaha. When one has Brahman realization, that is the fruit, then one is a Brahmana. But notice how one can have impersonal Brahman realization and be considered a Brahmana. But if we follow the Vaishnava path and we become fully realized, the absolute truth has 3 phases, Vedanta Tattva Vidas, Tattvam Yajjanam Advayam, Brahmati Paramatmati Bhagavaniti Shabjati, the Brahman realization, the Paramatma realization, and the Bhagavan realization. So if we're a Vaishnav and we get realization of Bhagavan, then automatically we're qualified as Brahmins. Or even if we get just Brahman realization, we're qualified to be Brahmanas. And that is the instruction given in this purport. It's interesting that Prabhupada highlights a word, pavitraushadhi, which actually appears in verse 14, which is not on the board, and it means mixed with pure herbs. So aushadhi, someone was mentioning that just recently, right? Aushadhi means herb. So what is the herb that will destroy the disease of material life? Who can say? I'll give you the phrase in Sanskrit, bhavaushadhi. There's a hint. There's a famous verse from the 10th canto with the word bhavaushadhi. You know? Navrita tarshayar upagiyamanad bhavaushadhi chautram manobiramat ka utama sloka gunanavadad pumam virajeta bina pashugnat. Actually, it was Vyasaki he spoke this verse yesterday, right? Was it yesterday? 2 days ago. 2 days ago. I wasn't here yesterday. I took my son to football. And on the way, the bells of Berkhamsted Church were ringing out. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So I decided, instead of watching football, actually I never watch and play football, I usually go for a japa walk at that time. But I thought, today I'm going to go to the church because the bells were ringing. So that's a call. So I went inside and there was a baptism going on, so I sat there for about 80 minutes watching the Catholic baptism. And I could see the similarities between their tradition and ours. And the minister, he was saying, I don't know what they call them actually, if they called ministers or not. He was talking about his son and how his son had a partner, and he dropped a hint to his son that you should get married, you know, you shouldn't be having a partner without getting married. And I was reflecting how their tradition, they have their standards, and then they have their reality of where they're at. And I was thinking, yes, it's the same in International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We have a standard, and then we struggle to come up to the standard. And I could see that many of them were obviously struggling to come up to the standard. But ultimately, it's interesting that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, ultimately, all religions will merge. And he said it will happen in the near future. Now, recently I was just researching this point to understand what is the nature of this merging. And I'll give you some pointers. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati has said the churches will merge and under the banner of the Brahma Sampradaya. So it's called the Brahma Sampradaya. Another indication, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says they will merge and it will be, they will practice Nam Kirtan. So Nam Kirtan. Now Nam Kirtan can take many forms. If you glorify Allah, that's Nam Kirtan. If you glorify, they've got their 100 names. You can glorify Jesus, so forth. Kirtan, it has Nam Kirtan. There's also Rupa Kirtan and Leela Kirtan. Rupa Kirtan is you glorify the form of the Lord. Leela Kirtan, the pastimes of the Lord. These are some of the categories. Nam Kirtan doesn't just mean for us, it doesn't just mean the Hare Krishna mantra. Recently, Gaur Krishna, he was singing Yashomati Nandana in the temple room. So he asked me to get the songbook. It took me a while to find it because I couldn't remember the name of the bhajan. I was thinking it'd be called Yashomati Nandana, but it wasn't. It's called, what's it called? Sri Nam Kirtan. So that's Nam Kirtan. If you just chant various names of the Lord, that's also Nam Kirtan. So what will be this unified church? Actually, in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, no, it's not in, it's in them. The Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the principle of Kirtan will replace all the sectarian churches of the world. In other words, the principle of Kirtan will become the world church. So, and if based on his other statements, Nam Kirtan, so it could be everyone chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but as I said, it could be more than that. But it's interesting that we should be instruments in bringing this about. And I think it will happen. It said it will happen soon. Judging by the state of the world with globalization, it's more likely to happen sooner rather than later, because sectarianism and globalization, they don't go well together, if you've noticed. When you bring Muslims, like in this country, you bring Muslims and Christians together, it's harder for Christians to be sectarian and for Muslims to be sectarian, because they have to relate with each other, they have to work next to each other, they have to go to school with each other. And if you notice children, they're very much less sectarian than adults. They have friends of all different nationalities, different colors, different religions, and they play like friends. They're not thinking, well, that person's from that religion, therefore I don't want to talk with them. So globalization is kind of the panacea for sectarianism. I mean, we can consider when the Hare Krishna movement came to the UK, you know, people were spitting at the devotees. Can you imagine trying to do that now? It would be terrible. It'd be so politically non-correct to do such a thing, because we have a lot of respect for diversity in this country. And the British nation is probably on the forefront of that. You can go to other countries in the world where it's not like that. In fact, if you just cross over the English Channel, you'll find that a lot of people consider the Hare Krishnas to be a sect. They're a little bit backward. They're quite a developed nation, but they're backward when it comes to just being insular and sectarian. And for me, I think that's part of the reason they have a lot of problems with their relationship with Islam, because they're very sectarian. They're also very secular and proud of secular, and they believe very strongly in the right to ridicule religion if they see fit, which is obviously a bad combination when you have people from Islam living in the country. Anyway, we're digressing here. What was I talking about? Because I was talking about I was talking about the Bhavaushadhi. That got me off on a tangent, excuse me. So Bhavaushadhi is the healing herb. So the verse I quoted, I'll say it again because it was a while ago. Nivritatai Shayar, Upagiyinamadad, Bhavaushadhi Chotram Anobiramat, Kautama Sloka Gunanavadad, Pumam Virajeta Bina Pashugnat. That the Bhagavatam is spoken by those who are Nivrita Tarshire. The Trishna means thirst. And Nivrita, that's what we're in. We're in the Nivriti Marg, by the way. Srila Prabhupada said, Iskon Nivriti Marg. We have a conflict. It says, Pravritir Esha Bhutanim, Nivritis Tu Mahapala. The general tendency is Pravriti, but the great fruit, the Mahapala, is Nivriti. Prabhupada said, there's a quote, I can find it later if you want, that our ISKCON is Nivriti Marg. That means like we sleep on the floor, you know, we can just use our arms as a pillow, we can be packed together, we don't need our luxuries because our bliss is to serve Krishna. And within our heart, we feel very happy just to be nothing, to have. We don't have a nice haircut, we don't have smart clothes, we just sleep austerely. That is our joy because our happiness is not bodily, it's transcendental. Now, if we come off the Nivriti platform, there are so many problems, and we see it in our society. We get this religiosity, we get BMWs coming in, and it can change the whole mood, and it can also change the brahmachari ashram. Brahmacharis, beware. You know, you don't have a room each. You have to squeeze yourself into one room, side by side, and make as much space as you can to bring in as many other people and give them the chance to associate with you. Because Srila Prabhupada said, because one time, this is Gopa Vrindapal, book distributor, he once asked Prabhupada, he said, people complaining, they say, when we're on the street, they say, all you ever want to do is take from us, you want to take our money. And then Prabhupada's response was, no, you can tell them that you can see us all the time. You can come and live with us, you can be with us 24 hours a day. We won't be taking from you 24 hours a day. And he said, if you stay with us for 3 days, you will become like us. This is the power of Sadhu Sangha. So we want Sadhu Sangha. So when we preach, we want the people that come, they feel welcome and they can feel that they can associate with us. Now, it's very difficult around here. I'm not criticizing, but the Brahmachari Ashram is locked and has a sign, you know, residents only. Now, it's understandable we have such a spectacularly successful temple that we have thousands of people visiting. So the dynamics are different. However, when I joined in Australia, New Zealand, the Brahmachari Ashram was open, so people could come and associate with the Brahmachari Ashram, and they would greatly benefit. I greatly benefited. I went upstairs and I spoke to some Brahmacharis, and I ended up becoming a devotee. Now, if the door's closed, there has to be Plan B. Now, I'm not criticizing, because I understand that you can't have a temple of this magnitude just having a free entry because there's so many people coming and going all the time. But there has to be the next level of cultivation. Of course, you are doing that. But as someone pointed out, as Terakadambhapu pointed out, he said, a little controversial, got into trouble at the end from Vishwambhapu, but anyway, he said, you know, millions of books have been distributed and there are so few devotees. So it's not like you can just expect the books alone to be enough. So there's other ways, bringing people, but it's through Sangha, through association. The power of Sadhu Sangha will bring people to Krishna. So we have ways that we can. I like the woofer system, for example, because it's not based on philosophy. Because philosophy is very nice, very pure and fine, but there's one disadvantage. If you start with philosophy and they don't like the philosophy, then you've already put a wall. So if you're like, oh, I like the Hare Krishnas, but I don't like their philosophy. So you've created a wall. So if someone's not philosophic, I mean, if you think they're ready for philosophy, then you give them philosophy. But if they're not, then you could say to them, well, just be a woofer, just do some organic things. And then as we've seen on many occasions, the woofers end up coming to the morning program, and then they end up doing Bhakti Shastra. They end up, you know, there's one in Scotland, ended up marrying a devotee. There's so many. It happens gradually. So it doesn't have to start with philosophy. And if you go in the street, you try in the street, how many people like the philosophy? I mean, for me, I'm not very good at it, but maybe 1 in 200 people will like our philosophy. Now, if I was handing out free food, it wouldn't be 1 in 200, it would be 1 in 10, I don't know. So there's multi-level strategy preaching. And we've gone off topic, and we've covered a little bit of everything. And I'll just end, we're talking about food, so we'll just end with one little statement from the Bhagavatam. Jitam sarvam jite rase. Anyone know this phrase? You know when the Mahaprasadi Govindi prayers, it says, if you conquer the tongue, then all the senses are conquered. So I'll try and remember it. Tavaj jitendriya nasyat vijitan yendriya puman. Najayed rasanam yavaj jitam sarvam jite rase. If all one's senses are controlled, but the tongue is not controlled, then one is considered not to have controlled the senses. On the other hand, if the tongue is controlled, then all the senses are controlled. So that is our lesson. If you want to be sense-controlled, and Prabhupada's advising us, because we have the great responsibility, remember, we are ambassadors for Krishna, we're ambassadors for ISKCON, therefore we must be controlled and have exemplary character. Therefore we can, and if we do, we can justify being Brahmanas, even though we're not born in Brahminical families. But in order to be controlled, jitam sarvam jite rase, we must control the tongue, and that is through prasad and through chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And I will conclude with one aspect. We're talking about multi-level preaching. There's another aspect of preaching that we're not so good at, but Prabhupada was very adamant about. And I know this because I was watching Prabhupada remembrances, and there's many examples. Hari Sari Prabhu gives an example. Malati Mataji gives an example, and there's several other devotees that give example of how Prabhupada was very adamant that anyone who visited should not leave without taking prasadam. And Malati Prabhu said, and this is, she's given the example of Prabhupada, even if someone's leaving in a hurry, you can quickly put something on the altar and then take it off and give it to the person. Because just by touching the altar is considered prasadam. We have this ritual. It's more for our benefit than anything else. We have this more bigger offering ritual. But it's not strictly necessary. You can just place the food place your apple on the altar and it's offered. Then you can take it off and you can cut it off and distribute. In the case of Hari Sari Prabhu, Hari Sari Prabhu's mother came. I think it was to Bhaktivedanta Manor, actually. And Prabhupada later on asked, how did it go? And Prabhupada said very nicely. And then Prabhupada said, did she take prasadam? And then Hari Sari Prabhu said, no, there was no prasadam available. And Prabhupada kind of looked as if to say, what was the point of bringing her here if she didn't get prasadam? So that's the power of prasadam. Prasadam will change people's consciousness. And if you don't want to chant Hare Krishna because of it's not your religion, you will still take prasadam. Prasad will purify those people that won't accept philosophy, that won't chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.